Here's a focus today. I want us to look at Matthew 6, 33 for a moment. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be provided for you. When we were putting this together today, just a fifth Sunday event, I'm really proud of Logan. He did the segments of that. We're gonna enter a segment into where we are sent. It's about the sending. What I'm giving you here in a few minutes is just comes out of lots of conversations I've had over the past month. Let me just start with seek first the kingdom of God. You know I love Julie, but Julie's not the treasure, is not my treasure. Jesus is my treasure. I love Julie, but Julie's not the love of my life. No, don't go looking at her like she's mad, okay? She's not the love of my life. The love of my life is Christ. Julie doesn't have my heart. Christ has my heart. He's the center of my life. My wife, my kids aren't the center of my life. Do I love my kids? Yeah, I'm kind of feeling guilty. I missed National Daughter Day on Wednesday. You all know how I feel about my kids. You know how I feel about my wife. But they're not my treasure. They don't have my heart. They're not the loves of my life. That is only reserved for one person and one person only. I'm going to say something to you. You don't have to like it, and it's okay if you do it. We have season tickets at UK football games, and we do my old Kentucky home, and there's a part in there that we raise our finger up. You know the part with me? It's okay if you do it. I'm not judging you. I only lift this finger up for one person and one person only. It's not my ball team that just won the championship. And it's okay if you do it. For those of you who know where we sit at the games, don't go looking like I'm going to be judgment on you. If you raise your finger up at that, that's fine. Just make sure it's the right finger, okay? Let's just do that. I might judge that, okay? But my point is, there are just things in my life that are only reserved for Christ himself. And when I live this life, let's get the priority right. Let's get it enumerated correctly. Let's get it arranged with priority. The first thing I seek is the kingdom of God. You're going, what is that? The kingdom of God is not Israel. The kingdom of God is not a land that's dirt and boundary. It's not turf. It's not a continent. The kingdom of God is the rule of God in your heart. So who has my heart? He has my heart. So what's the kingdom of God? It's me reacting to the world with kingdom of God moves. Just like, let me help you out here. Help me out and make sure I get this right. Tony Bennett, basketball coach, where, Virginia? Is it Virginia? Am I right? Yeah. My wife knows that better than any of you guys. He got $500,000. What did he do with it? Y'all know what he did to it? Gave it back. He said, and he's a believer. Tony Bennett's a believer. That's a kingdom move. With his salary, does he need another $500,000? No. And that's what he said. We don't need it. We're fine. We're fine. We're blessed. But if you've got a worldly attitude, what are you going to do with $500,000? And it, Chick-fil-A's not open, is it? It's not, I want to make sure about that. $500,000? Whew. But he said, we make enough. And in some ways, his statements are, we're overpaid, which is what he gave. He didn't receive the $500,000. Some of you are going to think he's crazy for not taking the $500,000. I think he's crazy, but I think he's kingdom crazy. I think that's a kingdom move. I don't need it. Put it back in your university, our university. Use it somewhere else, right? And you're going, man, this guy's nuts. He gave up $500,000. And you could say, well, he could have taken it and then given it away. That's right. But his kingdom thought is, I don't need it. I don't need it. It's not motivation for me to be a better coach. Did y'all hear that? Another $500,000 is not motivation for me to be a better coach or to live my kingdom-based life. We seek first the kingdom of God. Remember, it's the rule of God. And we seek his righteousness. And then God's going to provide all these things for that kind of a life. Let me help you out. God's not going to provide for you to have a bumper sticker that talks about the kingdom of God and you not live the kingdom of God. He'll provide the righteous and the kingdom focused life. That he says, all these things will be provided for that life. So we want the world to notice us, and I want you to get off that. Remember, I preach on the floor because I don't want your eyes on the stage. I'm physically down here to teach you a lesson. Life's not on the stage. Life's down here. So that's why I came down here. I want your eyes off of that place. Here's kingdom principles. And I'm going to teach you kingdom principles for the rest of my days. And sometimes you're getting them, sometimes you're not. And I'm going to push kingdom principles like good parents give Brussels sprouts to kids, you know? I'm going to just keep giving it to you. And here's kingdom principles. In this life, do we choose first or last? If you're living a kingdom life, I choose last. Strive to do your very best. Live a life of excellence. But when people get the recognition, choose last. Choose last. Are Christians lazy or hard workers? We go the second mile. Don't get caught up in the shortcuts and the cheat notes. And we have a GroupMe thing with all of our kids that are going on to college, and Logan and I are on it. And so I feel like the granddaddy, on there. And so one of them put on there, you know, pray for us. We've got tests coming up. And I said, I will pray for you. I said, but my prayer doesn't mean you study less. Study hard, go the second mile. And then I bragged about the fact that I'm able to scroll text. And I'm amazed that I'm even able to scroll text. And I said, yay for me. And what even made me even more encouraging, most of them didn't know what scroll texting was. And so there I am, Eureka. I bypass the millennial generation in technology. Encourage, go the second mile. We Christians go the second mile. We're not the laziest, and we don't shortcut. We do whatever we need to do. We go the second mile. We think about others more than we think about ourselves. You do need to think about yourself. But we think about, those are kingdom principles. Let me show you ones that have come up in the last 2 weeks in conversation. Luke 16:10. Here's a kingdom principle. Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in very much. Whoever is unrighteous or unfaithful in very little is also unrighteous or unfaithful in much. So if some people want to skip over the little and get to the big, but be faithful in the small things first. Then we'll move on to more influential, faithful things. But listen, faithfulness is impactful no matter if it's in the little things or the great things. It really just says here, your life is a life of being faithful. Let me give you Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8 matches this one. And then we have John 3:16 in the New Testament, which is the gospel in miniature. Micah 6:8 is the Old Testament in miniature. It really captures the whole Old Testament in one verse. Mankind, he has told you what is good and what the Lord requires of you to act justly, to love, say that, to love what? Faithfulness, and to walk humbly with our God. So if I take Luke 16, be faithful in small things and big things, Micah 6:8, love faithfulness, the kingdom principle is you and I live faithfully. I love being faithful to my wife. I want nothing else in the world to catch my eyes. I don't want to go after the shiny things of the world. I love faithfulness. I love being faithful to Julie. She never thinks about me being unfaithful because of our life of continual faithfulness, nor do I her. Never enters my mind. Not one time. Not one time. I love being faithful to the Lord. I love being faithful to Meemaw and Papaw. I don't want to do anything to blemish their faith or their dependence on me in taking care of their daughter. I don't want Papaw and Meemaw to worry about one thing with Julie or their grandkids. I wanted them to know that I'm going to be faithful to them and their daughter. I want to still be faithful to my mom and dad who are in glory. It matters to me that I'm faithful to their name. I want to be faithful to my church. And you go, you better be, you're the pastor. I want you to be faithful to your church. If we're going to do what God's called us to do, I need you to not be the occasional person of our church. I need you to be a faithful part of our church. So kingdom life for a Christian, when it comes to faithfulness, I get high on faithfulness. I get a rush doing the faithful things that I need to do as a believer. So a kingdom principle among many of them, one of them is you and I love being faithful. Being faithful is I want to keep my promises that I make, no matter how non-eternal or eternal they are, or how small they will be. Am I batting 1,000? I'm not, but I'm trying to. As I just become a person of my word, we love faithfulness. Seek first the kingdom of God, all of his righteousness, and he will supply that life. James 1, 22 through 25. Be the doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that looks in the mirror in his own face. Go on to the next one, if you will. For he looks at himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres it is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works. This person is blessed. Let me tell you some shifts that happen. Let me tell you some shifts that don't happen. All my life, I've heard, I'm 59. All my life, I've grown up in the church. And if I wasn't in it or faithful to it, I was about it or dodging it to some extent. But I know it. That's what I'm trying to say. And I've heard people say this. I mean, they're bad people. They do wrong things. They hurt other people, all that. And I've heard people say, well, if we get these bad people into the church, God will make them good. And if you think that way, I want to mess that all up for you, if you let me. The gospel is not taking bad people who break laws and hurt people and making them good. That's not what it is. Here's what the gospel does. It takes dead people and makes them alive. That's what he does. Folks who are unbelievers, they're not going to be condemned. Scripture says they already are. It says that they're already judged. They're already condemned. They're not going to perish. Unbelievers are already perishing. Sometimes you hang out with people, if they died today, they've perished. You converse with them. You eat lunch with them. You do things with them. They're perishing. If they're not in Christ, they're condemned perishing people right now. Our promise of the gospel is it takes dead people and makes them alive. Don't go thinking it takes bad people and makes them good. Because Jesus was called good one time in the gospels. And what did Jesus say? There's nobody good but God. What is it Bob Goff says? Love difficult people and remember you're one of them. So you could say, hey, Jeff, we're good people in here. Are you really? How many steps away are you from not being? How many steps? Maybe not even a step. You see what I'm saying? So it's dead people made alive. We've crossed over from death to life. Here's what the kingdom does. It moves you from being a hearer to a doer. You got to start by hearing. Hearing, faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God. How are they going to hear if they don't have a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who carry the gospel of Christ so that people can hear and understand the gospel. We all start there, but just don't stay there. Where's the shift? Death to life. The shift is from a hearer to a doer. Look at that last line. Hearers, it doesn't say anything about hearers being blessed. Nothing in this passage talks about hearers being blessed. And we're there. Well, I'm just going to come, hear my preacher, you know. And I found out, thanks to Josh back there, National Preacher's Day is October the 13th, right? Yeah. Are y'all not getting your phones? I don't see y'all writing that down anywhere. It doesn't say anything about the hearer being blessed. It says the one who becomes the doer is blessed in what he does. And not only are you blessed in what you do, you become a blessing to absolutely other people. So what do we do? Keep the Hope Church rules? No, we do the kingdom of God. We react with the kingdom of God. And if you'll move to the hope arrow for just a moment, Tammy, this is my last challenge to you. I want us to continually be a church that's focused on the arrow portion of this to where we are sending people. Let me explain this to you. We're sent out to do what? The gospel. The gospel and to live the kingdom. When the world does something to us, how are we going to have a kingdom response in this? What's the kingdom response? We've sent out over 60 people from this church. And there are times I'm like, man, if we still had them, man, look what we'd be able to do. But they're pastoring, they're worship leaders, they're involved in mission organizations. Some of them are living in other parts of the world as I speak. Here, listen to me. We will reach more people sending out those 60 people riding that arrow right there than all the large churches of Lexington and Louisville put together. Here's the problem. We measure how many people are on our campus, but exponentially, 60 people riding that arrow are going to exponentially connect with more people in the kingdom of God than the collective gathering of large churches in two cities that we lie between. They're going to touch far more lives exponentially. So this next segment is focus on that God's not just sending us, but God is sending you. And what do? If you're going to ride that hope arrow, what do? You just do the kingdom. When the world does something, give it the crazy kingdom response to it and watch how God works that and there's power in that. You got it? Let me pray this over you. Father, I pray over our people. I pray that not only they know that you were sent, but that you send us collectively as a church, individually, Lord, and personally as your followers. Speak to us in these next series of focus about you sending us to carry out your kingdom. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray.